Blessed be the tie that binds. And we sang that hymn today. It strengthens us against the enemy of souls. And collectively, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ is an unstoppable force. Unstoppable. We overpower Satan and his minions. I hope today to inspire each of you and those who receive this message by either email or the audio discs that we make to seek ways to reconcile your differences with each other. It's the way of Christ. Sometimes it's a burden to resolve differences. Sometimes it's a burden to break down those barriers and to work together in a unified way. Sometimes it's difficult. Yet that is the call of Christ within his body. If you would, open your Bible today to the 5th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We'll go ahead and read beginning in verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21 and reading through verse 24. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21 and reading through verse 24. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. I ask that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word today. I was inspired to write this message as we were traveling to Florida a couple of weeks ago, because we were listening to the combined gospel record on CD. I was listening to all of the gospel records combined into one message, if you will. And as we listened, this was a part, obviously, of the gospel. And when it played, it just jumped out of that CD player and just was alive to me. And I realized that this was a message that we needed to hear at St. John's. And so as I was writing there, sitting by the sea, of watching the sunrise, it was coming up behind the building that we were on, and the building was casting a shadow on the sea. As I sat there by the water, listening to the waves, I thought about the magnificence of Almighty God. And I thought about how old that water is. It's old. There's a lot of stuff in it that isn't so old, but the water itself is as old as creation. And those waves relentlessly roll into the shore day and night, high tide and low, and all points in between. And I was reminded that water is an unstoppable force. And then I realized or recalled that water is just a bunch of molecules. Take this glass of water, for example. Take a look at that. It just looks like one thing. And yet it is a collection of molecules that become that nourishing and hydrating drink. It's a group of molecules that are all together in this glass. Our human bodies largely consist of water. Yet we're solid. You can touch us. You can feel us. That's a powerful illustration of God's idea of unity. Together we are a body, the body of Christ. You know, in addition, most of you know that molecules of water, as I told the children, are composed of what? Atoms. Two hydrogen atoms, one oxygen atom, H2O, which is one. The water in this glass is actually a united atomic structure. I mean, we don't think about it like that, but that's what it is. It's designed by Almighty God for the giving and sustaining of life from the very beginning. And then at a deeper level, those atoms are composed of particles called electrons and protons and neutrons. And those particles are different, and yet they're united. They work together. The electrons carry a negative electrical charge, protons carry a positive electrical charge, and neutrons carry no electrical charge. But they all revolve around the nucleus. And it's a lot like the body of Christ. We're not all one way or another, but we all work together. We work together in Christ. But then even beyond that, deeper than that, protons and neutrons are composed of particles called quarks and gluons. Protons contain two up quarks, one down quark, while neutrons contain one up quark and two down quarks. I'm not going to get too deep. I'm not a physicist, okay? The gluons are responsible for binding the quarks together. And our heavenly designer took all those little pieces, put them together to form something all that time ago that we call water, that sustains our life. It gives us life. You think about the mother carrying the child in the water. Put those tiny things together, form bigger things, and when united with others, form even bigger things. And that's how we are. The collective body of Christ, those building blocks of life, offer us an illustration of how our Heavenly Father designed us to be and to live. Now, back to the ocean and those relentless waves. The power of water is found in the unity of the molecules. You think about tidal waves. Think about tsunamis. Washing over, completely changing everything. One of the pictures that I had of St. John's was this tidal wave of the Holy Spirit washing over us, cleansing all those things that cause division, cleansing all those things that are stopping growth, cleansing all of those things that are not necessary in the body, and bringing that life. That was one of the pictures that I had as I was sitting by the seaside. Separately, the water molecule is motionless and powerless. It's without force. Can do nothing by itself. It just sits there. Unless acted upon by something else, it just sits there. But united, those molecules, when given motion by some outside force, they move together with power. And that's how the body of Christ was started. Christ, with 12 others, moved upon the face of the earth and like a tidal wave engulfed the whole world with the message, the true message. Unity. Christ's followers are like this today. Individually, we have very little ability to exert a powerful influence upon the world. The world sees to that. The world silences individuals. But collectively, motivated by the Holy Ghost, Christ's followers have moved, as I said, over the face of the earth as a tidal wave. Jesus and his 12 disciples changed the whole world forever. When Jesus gave the command that we read this morning, he was instructing people to listen to their heart as they worship God. Because they were giving sacrifices as a form of worship. And we can apply that to ourselves today. As we gather for worship, let us take a moment to think about, do we have anybody that we have something against? Or is there anybody that has something against us? Can we reconcile with them? So our reading this morning, our greeting, as if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men, with all humans. At that time, they were still offering gifts to atone for sin, and we don't do that anymore. Christ is our atonement. He started the teaching that we read, reminding the hearers of the command against murder and the danger of judgment. And then he moved from the command against physical murder into its spiritual application. You have something of hate in your heart against somebody, you're murdering them in your heart. He just said, whoever's angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. He was warning them because those were incremental steps of hatred. And he wanted them to overcome that. He wanted them to be united. He wanted them to be a solid body, even though they were composed of individual parts. There were strong words to encourage the hearers to love one another and avoid disharm. Implies that the cause of anger must be legitimate. And that implies that anger itself is not forbidden. Remember, it's written, be angry, but do not sin.
We're to be angry, that we can be angry, but not to be angry with others over trivial matters. He said that those who say rakah, which was a term of reproach at that time, used among the Jews in the time of Christ, those who say rakah to their brother or sister, they were in danger of being judged by the council. And that word rakah meant worthless as a means of utter vilification and serious ridicule. They were talking amongst themselves. They were blaspheming God because God created each and every one of us. God created each and every one of them. The next level that Jesus covered regarding the vision was calling someone a fool. He said this act put them in the danger of hell fire. God doesn't appreciate us belittling our fellow human beings. He wants us to live in harmony with one another. Those three levels of anger represented would bring nothing but division. And therefore, Jesus warned strongly against them. Imagine if water molecules were able to disassociate from others and separate by anger or hatred, separate by variance from the way in which Almighty God created them to operate. Imagine if these water molecules were able to break apart and say, no, I'm not working with you. What would we have here? And what kind of influence would water have upon the earth? What kind of influence would it have upon the world? Our bond of love is that spiritual glue that unites us. Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Be reconciled and then offer your gift. Bringing a gift to the altar was a form of worship. And so we can apply this generally to our worship also. If we come to worship Almighty God and remember that our sibling in Christ has something against us, we need to resolve it with them. We need to resolve it if we have something against somebody else. This is why the body of Christ is largely ineffective in the world today. Division's like a poisonous yeast among believers. Leaving those differences in our heart causes division, and we must not let divisions exist in the body of Christ. We must not. There are many passages of Scripture that show the unity of the body. We see in the early church how people were coming in thousands and thousands. We're not seeing that today. The body of Christ is not to be stagnant. Think about water. If water sits and becomes stagnant, what happens? Poisonous. Can't do anything with it. It has to be fresh. It has to be alive. It has to be moving and interacting. Oxygen infused in the water washes out those impurities. You think of that ocean that keeps pounding on the seashore. That sand acts as a filtration device. As that sand is stirred up, it's actually washing and purifying the water. God Almighty God, remember that we have something against somebody or somebody has something against us, we need to resolve it. In the way of Christ, we have to settle those differences between us. Leaving those differences causes division. Divisions of Satan, who wants to destroy the work of God. But the Holy Spirit of Almighty God builds harmony. Harmony moves unified believers in powerful ways. And see that again in the early church. The body of Christ was a unified body. It was moving in a powerful way by the Holy Spirit's guidance and drawing others into the kingdom of God. Jesus, who said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Our bond of love is that spiritual glue. It's like the gluons that bind the quarks. It's that part that holds us together. Holy Spirit builds unity, moves those unified believers. Remember those blue ones, bind the quarks, and be viewed as our love, bound together by our love of God and our love of each other. But sadly, pride is used as a tool of Satan, and it's rooted in selfishness, and that breaks the bond of love by hampering the Holy Spirit's unifying, motivating work. Remember the example of the atom with the protons and neutrons and electrons all revolving around the nucleus? Those of you who have any high school science will remember that. That can be used to illustrate believers united in Christ, who is love, and Christ is at the center forming the local church. This local church. Christ is the center. Christ is the love that holds us together.
Why else would we gather in a room like this when we could be anywhere else in the world doing anything else in the world? It's the love of Christ. It's the body of Christ. Remember those waves of the sea. Look at them as an illustration of that united body of Christ, relentlessly storming the gates of hell, filtering souls out, bringing them into the kingdom, drawing those souls from the death grip of Satan into life. Moved by the Holy Spirit, believers that are united in the love of Christ have historically overtaken and overpowered the world. And there's no reason why in this day, in this time, that the same Holy Spirit who is unchanging, Almighty God, who is the same today as He was yesterday, cannot do the same thing. And all that's required is for us to be a united body in Christ. As I wrap this up, I want to encourage each of you to hear the Spirit of Almighty God speak to your heart. Listen. Listen to your heart today. Is there anybody here that knows of anyone who has something against them? Do you know of anyone that you have something against? Go and talk with them. Seek to resolve your differences. Get past those things. Remember that we're like those molecules of water that can be used by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to move across the face of the earth. Even if it's just here in Chicora. And I don't mean that to be disparaging. I'm not saying we have to go to some other country. We can do it right here, folks. There are plenty of souls in this community that can use the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to change their lives. There are plenty of people who once attended church services who no longer attend church services for whatever reasons. Let's help them get back into fellowship with God. Let's seek out those people. Let's draw them into fellowship. Let's unite. The message of Christ instructs us about unity and harmony and balance in the body of Christ. Can you see the importance of these things? Can you see how important it is that we be united? Can you see how important it is that we have that balance? That we not have the division? That we not have disharmony and disunity? Can you hear Almighty God calling us to be in harmony with each other? That's His call. That's the call of Christ. Remember that our bond of love is that spiritual glue that unites us. It strengthens us against the enemy of souls. So let's bond. Let's bond in love. Collectively empowered by the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ is an unstoppable wave that overpowers Satan and his minions. United in Christ, we're commissioned to draw souls into God's kingdom of eternal life. But disharmony pushes them away. We see that all through the church. I hope this message inspires everybody who hears it to look for ways to reconcile their differences with others. Christ said to seek and you will find. So I say like Christ, be reconciled to your brother. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. And Lord, as we go into this time of prayer, we ask, Lord, that you would bless Roberta. She's coughing, Lord. We ask that you would take whatever it is that's caught in her throat, that you would take that out. That you would help her. Pray in Christ's name. Father, as we go forward in this service, we ask that you would lead us. Lead us to be harmonious. Lead us to be united. Lead us, Lord, to be balanced, that we can be your ambassadors, leading others out of that spiritual prison and into life, into the light of Christ. We pray this all in Christ's name.